This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
First part of this episode of the Paracast is focusing very heavily on animal mutilations. Richard Bonenfant and our weekly co-host Jay Randall Murphy. And Richard feels that there's some ET intervention in there. And just as a contrast for regular listeners, we know, of course, that our own Chris O'Brien, the former co-host of the Paracast, he looked for a more terrestrial solution in his book, Stalking the Herd. Randall, you want to pick up on that?
Right. We were talking about the different groups that are involved in this. So we're not just talking exclusively about aliens or our own medical researchers. Is there also some maybe other third terrestrial sort of shadowy force involved here? And why don't we see them coming out, say, when somebody reports a cattle mutilation? Why don't we see somebody, say, from the Department of Defense or the CDC out there then, if that's the case, trying to figure out what's going on?
Well, I think the person who best answered that is Colm Kelleher, which I don't know if you've had him on your show, but he's a microbiologist from Trinity College in Ireland who's been studying this problem for quite a while. And he blames complacency in the American media and the American health system, like the CDC, for undermining the seriousness of this epidemic. And I agree with him. I think that we are taking it seriously at the military, and maybe the CDC is taking it seriously, but they're doing the studies covertly, and we're not getting any of the results. Now, that may be because they feel it's a national problem that would be difficult to handle, but the Europeans have handled it out in the open. They've been very straightforward about inspecting meat, and the Japanese are very forward about it. I don't know why we don't have more serious coverage of, for example, herds of elk or deer that are found dead in various places throughout the country. And they just maybe said that, you know, a herd of elk were found all dead in a certain area, but we don't know if they died of prion diseases or what, and there's no explanation and there's no follow-up.
I've actually seen those articles where they have said it has been some sort of prion disease in elk herds, but like you say, it tends to be buried, and you have to, I've never seen it in the papers. I have seen it in independent articles on the internet, but you really got to dig for it. I mean, they're there.
That's correct. That's correct. You're absolutely right. And that's what I'm trying to get at. There are people who are really dedicated. And as a matter of fact, the prisoner won a Nobel Prize for his work on discovering what the prions were. But it's not really covered in proportion to its seriousness. And I think in that regard, it's been because of the complacency of our health authorities. This is something that should be covered, and we should be inspecting meat much more carefully. We inspect a very small percentage, maybe only 2% of the cows that are being slaughtered. And we think at first we thought that only the cows that couldn't stand or had problems walking were contaminated cows, but the most recent cow epidemic up in Washington State was with a standing cow that didn't have any other symptoms, and it was discovered that it had the mad cow disease. So, you know, we should be inspecting more cows, and we should inspect them more thoroughly. I think that the Europeans and the Japanese are really far in advance of our own, but they don't treat it as something that would be a national problem. They treat it as a national concern. And I think part of the problem is that we're not aware of, the general population is not aware of the seriousness of these prion diseases.
I know that here in Canada, we do have inspections for this, and I remember it being in the news. And right now, actually, since 2007, Canada has been recognized as a what's called a controlled BSE risk country. And in the States, it seems like there's so much more of an industry there that is harder to regulate and inspect. So from what I recall, is has a lot to do with the type of feed that they were giving to the cows, because they discovered that they were actually feeding cows back to themselves as food, and they were cooking them in this high temperature. And one theory was that this was breaking down the protein into these amino strands that would sort of spontaneously form this prion in the food chain. And since they've cut that out, there's been a big decline in the incidence of it. And yet now it's out in the wild. And what do?
Right. The process you described is called rendering. And that's when weak cows, or cows that can't make it to market, are sent to a factory where they destroy the cow, they grind up the meat, and they turn it into protein feed, which they give back to the cow. And in a sense, they're just retransmitting the prions back into the cow population by grinding up contaminated cows or other. But the thing is, for example, if you have feed for cows to supplement their intake of hay and things, if you feed them this rendered meal or pellets or something, that sometimes animals that are not cows will go into the pasture and eat these pellets as well, perhaps deer, raccoons, coyotes, whatever. They might just go and feed on that, and some of them may produce mutations in which they now carry the disease and spread it to other animals. And I think that's what happened in the deer and the elk population.
Part of the problem seems is that there's no real validated live animal test for BSE. It has to be done in an autopsy type setting where the animal is actually destroyed, their brain and nervous system that could be infected has to be taken out and examined very carefully under high powered magnification.
You're absolutely right. And that's why a lot of the pathologists in California won't examine Alzheimer's brains, because they're afraid of contaminating their instruments or themselves in the process of determining what, if it was Alzheimer's or if it was a prion-related disease. There's a reluctance to deal with that, and they just group these deaths under, mental deterioration in Alzheimer's. And so they bury it. We don't know what percentage of the people who die from Alzheimer's may have the human version of mad-cow disease, and they're mistaking it, or they're not refined enough to determine how much it's changed over time. So I suspect that the increase in Alzheimer's over the past two decades may conceal a lot of prion diseases, an increase in prion diseases, especially when it occurs in the younger ages, say from the 20s on. Normally, Alzheimer's occurs later on in life, like when you're 60s and 70s, but the more virulent version of Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease occurs, almost to teenagers, but to young adults in their 20s, and they don't live for more than a year and a half. Those cases should all be examined and verified as being whatever they are,
Well, then again, of course, but this presents a real problem for us then, in that Gene had mentioned Christopher O'Brien, who is very well known on our forums here and on the show, and has written pretty much the definitive book on the subject. And one of the questions he's asking is to sort of frame this question, is that, do you think that coordinating mutilation research and investigation is at all possible when reporters and researchers such as Linda Howe and Chuck Zukowski tend to promote the idea that it's only aliens that are responsible for all mutilations?
We got more to come on the animal mutilation subject a little bit later. It's going to be a near-death experience. It's got a lot of questions about that for Rick. We've got Randall and Gene, and that means you're in
the Paracast.
Neighbors, we've made such a deal with HelloFresh, and it means that everyone listening to this show can receive $30 off your first week of deliveries when you go to HelloFresh.com and use the offer code PARACAST30. You know, with HelloFresh, you can choose the delivery day that works best for you. They've got a wide variety of chef-curated recipes that change weekly. And can you imagine me cooking Japanese panko chicken? It makes me feel like I'm a chef. It means also that you could actually get your meal cooked in 30 minutes. For busy people, this is perfect. The simple recipes include step-by-step instructions so even I can figure it out. Go to HelloFresh.com, use the offer code PARACAST30 to get $30 off your first week of deliveries. HelloFresh.com.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Ted Anderson telling you about Jordan Rubin's Beyond Organic Green-Fed Raw Cheddar Artesian Cheese featuring whole milk created through ancient dairy breeding. Unpasteurized, untreated whole milk on the same farm the cows graze. Containing natural sources of omega-3s, CLA protein, calcium, probiotics, and enzymes. I have never tasted cheese this good, and you need to try it. Contact your longevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.
Healthcare reform is confusing, but whether it's finding an affordable insurance plan, keeping your doctor, or being able to afford needed prescriptions, navigating the healthcare system has become a challenge. Control your own healthcare costs and choices with Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is not insurance. It is an association of self-pay patients who unite with like-minded people to share the cost of each other's medical needs. Neighbor helping neighbor. Learn more now by going to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So, Randall, you asked Rick a kind of lengthy question there, and I guess focusing on the possibility that some of the guilty parties in these animal mutilations or ET. Would you go on with that question, please?
Right. Yeah, I'll just reframe that because I didn't do a very good job of it before the break. Do you think that coordinating mutilation research and investigation is at all possible when reporters and researchers such as Linda Howe or Chuck Zukowski tend to promote the idea that it can only be aliens that are responsible for all mutilations? Now, Chris puts that in quotes, and says they won't have anything to do with researchers whose investigations have come to other conclusions. Now, if we've got that going on in the non-professional field, so to speak, and in civilian science research, how are people in actual science going to take it seriously? I mean, what are we supposed to, how are we supposed to convince them that they should be doing this because aliens are researching prion disease in cows and humans? How do we make any progress? Because on either side of the equation, it seems like people are going to be really shying away from any sort of research that has anything to do with it.
Well, I think you run into a different kind of a problem, but one having to do with human beings. It seems like we all develop prejudices, and we don't really sit down and talk, professionally with one another with regards to any problem. I mean, I think that people could coordinate themselves and work if they could agree to listen to the other side and to address whatever problems that are proposed from whatever critic you're listening to. For example, Sir Brian could, you know, listen to people who claim that it's done by aliens and explain their point, their arguments as to why they believe that's true, and the vice versa, the other person, is true. I happen to think that both aliens and humans are working on these things, but at different levels.
Well, let me ask you a quick question here, because you're raising that, and I want to try to get movement on this, because we're going to switch to another topic later. That is, you feel that at least some of these mutilations are caused by alien intervention. How do we know they're alien, and how do we know they're terrestrial?
Well, for example, I don't know if you're familiar with the Judy Doherty abduction, but in the Judy Doherty abduction, which was published in one of Linda Moulton's house first production, publications, and it was, I think, in one of the appendices, maybe appendix 12, where this woman who was abducted, she and her daughter were abducted. Before they were abducted, they saw a brown and white cat being raised up in a tractor beam of yellow light into a UFO, and then there's a gap in their memory, and they're in the UFO, and the woman's daughter, Judy's daughter, I think her name was Cindy, finds herself on an examining table, but the mother is in a room where an actual vivisection is taking place by the aliens. And in that scene, she reports that the cow is alive, and he has all these tubes being put into it somehow, and material is coming out of these tubes, and they're coming into basins.
Just a moment here, guys. They're torturing this animal. I mean, I guess we can say you're torturing the animal when you eat it, but something like this here is, this is, I guess, part and parcel of alien, so-called alien abductions, where they administer physical exams and they're none too nice about it.
Yes, they don't ask the cow's approval. They don't ask the human's approval. They just do it.
But well, obviously, with the cow, it's more difficult. It's just a matter of observing some humanity. But if we're going to take animals and harvest them for food, you know, that's not very different. But we like to hope that aliens coming down here would be nice to the humans, at least.
Well, I think they have a different agenda. And I think that the infection of the entire biosphere with infectious prions may not be in their interest as well. So I think they have a vested stake in what they're doing. No, they don't ask permission, and what they do is cruel. And I have no excuse for this type of thing myself. I see this as just animal cruelty. But the fact is that these things are happening, and we just can't ignore it. Is that most of these cows that are taken, and they're mostly cows, not bulls, but most of them that are taken are between 1 and 5 years old, and they seem to be concentrating sometimes on the pregnant female cows, and they're interested in the younger cows, and they're focusing their attention mostly on them. And I think that there's something important being studied, because all of the genital parts of the animal are very scrupulously taken and studied, and I think that they're examining the potential for reproductive contamination. So I want to make a point that this is, in fact, animal cruelty, and what they do to human beings is no different. It's just psychological cruelty, and there's no permission asked or given. You know, this is something that happens without consent, and there's, on my part or whoever is studying this, it should be clear that this is animal mutilation in the brutalist form.
Maybe they're just looking at it the way the people in the labs you mentioned were giving this disease to apes and monkeys,
exactly,
and chimpanzees. I mean, they're sentient creatures.
Right. There's a sense of hubris in this, and that, you know, we and they also are doing things from this position of superiority almost.
Yeah, we're down one in the food chain now all of a sudden, it seems like.
Yeah, that's true. But anyway, I think what I was saying is that there are people who have been abducted who have actually witnessed these things. And also, yes, there are black helicopters that are found in the vicinity of mutilated cows, and often people like in uniforms, nondescript uniforms, that are doing things. But there are also a much larger number of cases where UFOs are seen in the vicinity and are kind of linked with the animal mutilations as well. I'm sorry, go ahead.
It's okay. Finish that sentence. You were saying you wouldn't challenge Chris's...
No, I think that there are military and Navy covert health agencies involved in cattle mutilation. I don't dispute that. I think there's a strong evidence for that. I do. Aliens are not involved is also, I think, a misrepresentation of what's going on.
So it's kind of in an ideal setting. You'd like to see someone like Kelleher and yourself and Lyndon Moulton Howe. And Gabe Valdez.
And Chris as well. Chris O'Brien as well. Yep. Everybody talk to each other. Not argue.
Right.
But just discuss rationally this problem. Because I think all of us have points. And, you know, we have to respect our critics.
We've got Orticom with Rick, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Did you know that safe drinking water is the second most essential human need? Don't take your water for granted. Know what you're drinking. Get a ProPure 10 in-home water test kit for just $20, a $39 value, and test for 10 different water contaminants and conditions. Takes about 10 minutes and works with most potable city and well water sources. No salesman will call. Order your test kit today and receive a $20 coupon good towards the purchase of a ProPure water filter system. Visit a participating authorized ProPure dealer or ProPureUSA.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. An airline mechanic stole an empty Horizon airplane in Seattle and took off. He was chased by military aircraft before crashing into a nearby island. Police say the 29-year-old was suicidal and appeared to have acted alone. Horizon Air Chief Operating Officer Constance Van Mullen.
We believe it was taken by a single Horizon Air employee and that no other passengers or crew were on board. Shortly thereafter, it crashed near Keetron Island by South Tacoma.
The pilot, who was doing stunts in the air, told air traffic controllers he was a broken guy with a few screws loose.
I got a lot of people that care about me, and it's going to disappoint them to hear that I did this. I would like to apologize, to each and every one of them.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
This is an urgent health notice for all residents suffering from back, neck, knee, and wrist pain. You may qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you, but the deadline is fast approaching. Simply call the Health Alert Hotline now.
You heard right. You may qualify for a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace. These items may even be covered by Medicare or your private insurance. The Health Alert Hotline is your brace company. These specialized braces have been tested for pain relief. Call us toll-free right now to determine your eligibility and to learn how to use your private insurance or Medicare to minimize your out-of-pocket cost. Don't wait. If the deadline passes, you may lose your opportunity to get a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace at little or no cost to you.
800-296-1261. 800-296-1261. 800-296-1261. That's 800-296-1261.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
I want to dovetail into near-death experiences because we mentioned UFO abductions. And if Richard hasn't seen what we've talked about there, he might find it interesting. Richard Bonenfant and J. Randall Murphy and Gene Steinberg, and we continue, and we're just framing different aspects of the problem. Let's try to wrap it up on mutilations this segment because I want to go to the NDE.
I think that's a really great attitude, Richard, and I'm sure it's one that Chris would definitely go for if the rest of the people in the research community on this could all pull together. In fact, I don't know if it would even be possible to pull off some sort of a grand meeting between all of these people, just to get it all out on the table and do exactly what you're saying. Have a constructive argument or debate or comparison of the facts and get some attention on it so that real scientists can take it seriously as well.
I agree with that 100%. And I think it can't be done all at once. It has to start with two people with opposing views talking it over rationally. And then it has to be joined by people who are more specialists who could contribute to the argument, giving their points of view as well. And then working on some sort of consensus of where all of them agree. And I think that's just like negotiating a treaty or some political questions. You know, I think that we have a tendency to adhere to our internal prejudices without realizing their prejudices, and we have to break away from that, and we have to find a way to respect the facts, the statistics, and the hard research that's coming out in the professional literature, and abide by what the professional findings are and try to work our understanding into that rather than going off on a tangent and with hypotheses that may lead nowhere.
That's a really healthy attitude. In your look at all of this work, what would you say is some of the best professional and amateur work done on the subject that you can think of?
Well, you know, I think a lot of the best work is really being done by amateurs because in the professional community, they kind of avoid controversy because of problems with status and respect and their positions of authority. I think they don't really tackle the really serious problems unless it's so specific that they kind of protected by the specificity of what they're doing.
That's really interesting. We've got another question in our forum for you here that has to do exactly with that. It's from a forum poster named Without Limits 9. And he's curious to know if your research has been frowned upon by more mainstream schools like UF and Santa Fe. You know, have you run into any kind of professional criticism yourself for your involvement in this type of work?
Well, whoever asked the question, I'll have to tell them that I've pretty much waited until I retired before I delved into these things. When I was working as a professional, yeah. I was trying to find out what caused what the effects of minor burst effects were in the long run for children, and I was pretty much concerned at doing the best I could with those problems, and I didn't feel that I would. I felt I would jeopardize my standing if I started talking about UFOs and aliens and abductions and freons, which I didn't know anything about at the time anyway. But I think there's a reluctance by people who are professionals to get involved with this because it taints them. And I don't know if you remember John Mack. He was a Harvard professor of psychiatry.
Absolutely.
He was reprimanded because he was studying alien abductions. I think that a lot of my colleagues are afraid of that, and they'll only talk to me in private about their views. They won't talk in any public forum.
Do they talk to you in private? So, how many people have you talked to in private who are professionals that have an interest in this, roughly, would you say? A few dozen or?
Well, let me see. I would say not even that many. I would say probably 12, maybe.
Oh, that's a fair number.
13. Yeah.
And so these are people who have credentials and are seriously interested in it, but just don't want to get themselves involved in it on a professional level out of fear of their career.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Very interesting.
Yeah, but there is an interest at the professional level, but it's covert. And the people who are doing a lot of the real work are people who are amateurs, but who are dedicated by curiosity and a driving force to seek the truth of what's happening, not what they want to be the truth, but what actually is the truth. So they're truth seekers who are not professionals that are dedicating themselves to trying to find out what's going on.
Now, I wonder, at what level do our people in the civilian sector who have the labs, the scientific labs, who are doing the animal testing, for example, and are actually slicing off these slim slices of brain material and doing the high-tech work in the sterilized environment that's required, that's getting up there in the system quite high. I wonder how far above them we have to go before we get into this all this clandestine stuff with black helicopters and aliens. Have you found any sort of link to link the chain down or upwards in any of those directions?
I think a lot of technicians and scientists are just dedicated to finding out the truth in their particular search for a cure of a disease or what's causing a disease. I think those are very dedicated people, but they're not concerned about the end results of their findings. I think you have to go a couple steps higher into the political and economic levels of concern before you get a censorship of the findings or taking findings that are meant for one purpose and converting them for another purpose. For example, weaponizing something that's been discovered that could be useful for the military or even in bio warfare, you know, maybe weaponizing prions. I don't know. But it seems like the scientists who are devoted to the science are doing their job, but it's the next level, the one who kind of orchestrate the findings at the economic and political level that are the culprits in this process.
Interesting. Well, we know biowarfare has been banned, so far as we know. So Yeah, it's...
So it has to go covert.
Yeah.
It's still done. It's just covertly done.
I mean, I imagine that somebody might say, well, look, what if somebody develops this? What do we do about it? And right. Where are we going to take our sampling from? But wouldn't you think it would be easier for our own people in, say, in the Department of Defense, some covert lab that's dealing with this, to simply have their own ranch and to grow their own cattle? Why would they need to go out and you know, abduct other people's cattle and then drop them by their doorway? You'd think if they'd want to do it covertly, that's the last way they'd go about it. So what's going on with that?
I can't give you a good answer to that question, but I do have an observation. I think that the covert part that's being taken place by either the military or high-end health organizations is trying to discover what the aliens are doing and why they're doing it, more so than actually running an independent type of research on the study of prions. I think prions are being studied in universities, and there's a lot of work being done leading to Nobel Prizes. But I think that is like sporadic and piecemeal. But I think that the covert operations is something that's highly organized. For example, taking place all over the world.
Rick, let's do that example in our next segment. We'll persist with this answer in our next segment. Then I really want to jump into near-death experiences. With Gene Randall and Rick, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Get the ultimate knife at an ultimate price. The Fox Karambit Knife. Finally available in the U.S. The Fox Karambit Knife opens with one hand, faster than you can pull a handgun. For utility, for defense, and for way less than other knives of this caliber. Go to TheUltimateKnife.com. Truly the best knife you will ever own. And only available at TheUltimateKnife.com. Use promo code radio at checkout for free shipping. Get the ultimate knife at the ultimate price at TheUltimateKnife.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Homemakers. Groceries by mail ships free. Try our amazing bacon. It stores in your pantry. No refrigeration required. Our value-added packaging provides a 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Always price less than grocery for your everyday use. Savory and delicious. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill. I had high blood pressure, diabetes, poor vision. I wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract from within a few days. I started sleeping better. My blood pressure normalized. My diabetes normalized. My sleep improved.
Experience these benefits and more when your body heals itself with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
This is Jessica Armand, founder of My Magic Mud. Our team helped organize a successful effort to remove fluoride from our city's water supply. This is our passion. My Magic Mud Oral Care purifies and brightens your smile naturally. GCN listeners, please support my family business by purchasing our product from your local health food store. We're also available at CVS Pharmacy. Or visit us at MyMagicMud.com and take 10% off now with coupon code GCN10.
This is Robert Hastings, author of UFOs and Nukes, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So, Rick, let's finish this answer and maybe go to the question of whether there's any hope we'll solve any of this, and then we'll move on. Go ahead, please.
I think I was saying that, well, actually, I don't remember what I was saying, but I
we were talking about the various levels of
agency,
bureaucracy, and so on, where this work is being done. And you're suggesting that what's going on the covert end is that we've got, say, something from the DOD going out and chasing after incidents where alien involvement has taken place in order to try and figure out what they're doing. So what do you think then, I guess to close this out, what are the aliens doing when they take a cow and stick it in some lab of their own and are drawing fluid out of it? I mean, are they using it to try and figure it out to help us, or to are they feeding it back to us to try to, is it some sort of bio warfare, or are they just or could they just care less and they're just studying it the same as we are?
No, I think they have the best interest in this problem, and I think it has to do with contamination. I think probably the Earth is a pearl among planets, and maybe we're Earth-like planets are rare, and they are concerned that this type of infection or disease could ruin the biosphere of the planet, or it has something to do with their own interests. But they're not doing it to harm us, I don't think. I think they're just doing it because they have interest in an investment, perhaps. I feel it's more something like that. I don't think they're trying to do anything.
Interesting.
I think they're just trying to protect their investment, so to speak. I don't know.
So we have an investment in cattle, and they have an investment in us. So
well,
there we are again.
Something like
We've moved down once again in the food chain.
Yeah.
Very interesting hypothesis. So maybe we should move on. And Gene, you were wanting to talk a bit about near-death experiences. How about we carry on then? And in addition to the cattle mutilation mystery, you've done some work and some looking into the whole phenomena of near-death experiences. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Well, I think anybody who has a brain should be curious about these episodes because they're well documented and they've been around for quite a while. And near-death experiences occur not only near death, but they can occur spontaneously without the threat of death being present. And of course, each near-death experience is unique. They have common features, but they can be mostly unique. And what is going on is currently under a paradigm that the brain is the vault of memory, and a feeling and thought and experience. That in other words, that neurons or chains of neurons link us to memories and recall and knowledge and understanding, everything that's a higher function, for example. The people who die and who experience clinical death where their heart isn't beating and there's no brain activity and are resuscitated, they come back and they report experiences which their brain couldn't have been doing because it was not active. There was no neuronal transmission of signals in different parts of the brain.
Okay, so just to be clear, when you're saying that, so when there was no fear of death, we're not saying that these people didn't die. We were just saying that they weren't afraid of dying, but they did die, and then they came back.
I think that's a byproduct of an after effect of the experience, because a lot of people are fearful of death. But once they have a near-death experience, and whether they're clinically dead or not, they see an alternate reality. They seem to lose their fear because their consciousness convinces them that they're still the same person and everything, but they're in an alternate reality. And it's not like everything just goes flat and your memory and your existence just goes flat. It kind of reaffirms that there's something higher than what we consider brain consciousness now, or organic consciousness.
Fly in the ointment, folks. Let me throw the fly in the ointment. Okay. We ran an article from a blogger named Miguel, and he's known as Red Pill Junkie. He's a gentleman from Mexico who's also a pretty terrific artist. He does books. He did a great cartoon of me for the show. And he wrote a long piece in our newsletter suggesting here that near-death experiences and UFO abductions are exceedingly similar in many ways. Have you heard that?
I believe that. I study both. I think there's a lot of parallel. For example, did you know that both near-death experiencers and people who have abducted have like a negative electromagnetic influence on sensitive instrumentation around them? For example, your wristwatch won't work anymore, or it works very slow, or when you pass by a TV, it flicks on, or when you go by a lamp, it'll flick on or off depending upon its state.
Let me just ask you about the watches. Okay, we obviously have different kinds of watches. We have mechanical watches. We have quartz watches. We have Apple watches, which is, by the way, the best-selling watch in the world right now. Does it affect all of them or just the old-fashioned kind?
Well, I don't know about Apple watches because they're pretty recent, but I had someone who I gave a lecture, and he came to me later on at a different time to where I worked, and he gave me a paper bag full of about 12 or 13 watches, and he says, some of these work and some don't, but ever since I bought them, they don't work on me. So I'm really referring to more the battery-operated watches as the examples that I intended to make. So, you know, the ones with the little batteries, not the wind-up ones, but the electronic ones.
And, so were you making a comparison here between electronics being affected by people who have had an NDE and a UFO experience where, say, people's cars or car radios have stopped, that type of thing?
Oh, well, I wouldn't say that because one woman who had an abduction experience where she woke up and she found this creature sitting on her chest like the painting Nightmare, I think it's a 17th century, 18th century painting. She compared it to that. And after that experience and a couple other experiences similar to that, she walked by her printer, and her printer was not plugged into the electrical outlet, and the printer started to run by itself. So that's pretty fantastic if you think about it. And I had a director who was also a doctor, who was actually my boss. And she couldn't use her computer because she couldn't control her mouse. And not only that, but she kept having to replace her memory board and her operating system because it just wouldn't work anymore. So these are all effects that seem to come from the person to the object, which is dysfunctional. And that occurs both in people who had near-death experiences and people who have encounters with aliens.
Okay, yeah. So we go back to the core question here. If they are so similar, and we assume or we gather that UFO abductions are supposed to be actual aliens physically capturing people, performing medical tests on them, et cetera, and near-death experiences occur where the body is very briefly dead and then is brought back to life after a few minutes. And we're saying these things, even though they supposedly on the surface have totally, totally different causes, physical testing by beings from other planets and briefly being dead, at the end of the day, they're almost the same. And if they're almost the same, then perhaps here, and we can get into the can of worms, perhaps here, it's not ET at work, and the clinical death puts you into an alternate state of consciousness. Let's get into more of this with Rick Jean and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Eating, working, living pain-free. These are things many of us take for granted. But for many adults with disabilities who are elderly or have serious medical issues, dental care is simply unaffordable. Dental Lifeline Network is looking for dentists who can change this. DLN is asking dentists and their teams to volunteer to just see one of the many patients in need. You can literally change a life. When you volunteer with DLN's donated dental services program to see one, you treat a pre-qualified patient in your office at your convenience. We handle the details so you can focus on the care. Lack of dental care can lead to the inability to have life-saving surgery, eat, or contribute to our community. If you are a dentist or know a dentist, please share this message. Will you see one? Visit willyouseeone.org to help change one life in your community today.